Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word. We're jumping back into our Holy Human series, and this is going to take some brain power, but you're going to have to think back past 2 weeks ago to jump back into the series. And if you need a little bit of a refresher, it is all about us living in the tension of being called holy and chosen and set apart, but then we're still here on earth, we're still human, we're living in a human world, and our humanity sometimes doesn't always line up with those things that we have been called to live in and live by. And so today we're looking in 1 Peter 2. And I feel like there's been a lot of things in this series where we're talking about how we live and how we live to glorify God, how we live to honor Him. And what I have learned and seen across all the topics is that there is a way that we live that honors God, and there's a way that we live that doesn't. And there's no in between both of those. And so tonight we're talking about how we suffer, how we walk through suffering, how what Jesus has done for us actually transforms our suffering. And that still applies. Just because it's not a good thing doesn't mean that we can, there are two ways that we can still suffer, one that glorifies God and one that maybe just comforts our souls and comforts ourselves in a way that doesn't. And so we're just looking into that tonight to see what those things are, how we work through them, and yeah, just so stay with me, because I know when I say suffering, it can be like, oh, this is an intense, heavy topic. But it's something we all live through, right? Like, if the Broncos don't win tonight, Brisbane's going to be suffering tomorrow. If I was running to the beach the other day on the sand, it was so hot, my feet were suffering. And then there's moments in our everyday life where we suffer. It's not only these big things in our life that can classify as suffering. It can be things in our everyday life like isolation. Maybe it's just feeling that disconnect. Maybe you don't, you're feeling on the outside of friendships. Maybe it's rejection. Maybe it's a job that you didn't get, or maybe it's loneliness. There's relationship pressure. There's tension in different things in your life. All of those things can actually be equated to suffering in our everyday moments, because the definition of it is to experience or be subjected to something unpleasant. And I love that the scripture we're reading from, the things that we're pulling from the New Testament, were all written to the early church, who was not surprised when suffering came about, because suffering was a part of the Christian walk, was a part of their life. And Paul is writing to these people who have been isolated, to these people who have been slandered, to these people who have been persecuted because of their faith. And to be honest, I think that today we can still take the same amount from there, because there are moments where we feel isolated, where we feel excluded, where we feel slandered and persecuted. And so every one of these letters points back to hope and endurance and faith. And so when we're pulling these things out of scripture tonight, it's just as relevant for us as it was all those years ago. I started Invisalign last year, which, if you don't know, it's basically this equivalent of braces that you can do now. Technology has come very, very far. And instead of having the metal wire of your teeth, you get a clear retainer, and you basically have to wear it all the time. So 22 hours out of 24 hours is like the recommended time day. So basically just when you eat, you take them out. And you have a x-ray of what your teeth look like at the start, and then an x-ray, or, well, it's not an x-ray, they give you like a picture of what it's going to look like at the end. And every week they give you a tray that has a slight shift so that your teeth move slowly over time. And I remember the first day of putting it on, I was like, that's it, I can't ever eat again, my teeth are going to be gone, I can't feel anything. It was just so painful. And then the first day of every week when I'd swap the retainers over, it would hurt because something was shifting in my mouth. There was something moving, and that pain reminded me that something was happening and that there was going to be an end result for it. And when we go through our suffering, sometimes there's those shifts and those uncomfortable moments, but there's always something that God's doing in amongst it. So we're reading from 1 Peter 2 tonight, verse 21 to 25, and it says, "But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Often when you hear a preacher get up, they might say, oh, I had to live out this message this week because, you know, I think when we are reading these scriptures, pulling it apart, we just become more attentive to it in our lives and we can see. It's like when you get your pea plates, all you see is pea platers on the road because that's new and that's what you're focusing on. And so at the start of the week, I said to a friend, I was like, oh gosh, I really hope I don't have to suffer a lot this week to prepare for this message, which in the moment was like a silly little comment, just a joke. But it actually got me thinking for the rest of that day. I was like, oh, I really actually don't like to suffer. It's uncomfortable, it's inconvenient, and honestly, we probably all would try and avoid it. I reckon, which I'm not going to do, so you don't need to put your hand up, but if I asked you to put up your hand to say that you like suffering, there would be no hands up in the room right now, because people, we choose comfortability. There's something in us that wants to stay in what we know, what we can control, and what's comfortable for us, and we wouldn't choose the harder path. Everything in us wants to stay in a place that's safe and where it's easy and we know what is around us. But the call to follow Jesus is actually something deeper than that. And in this passage, Peter says that we have been called. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you. That's a call to follow Jesus. And how many of us know that when there's a call, there's often a cost that comes with it? When God calls, something always changes. The call of Jesus in this passage is not a call to comfort, but a call to imitate Jesus. He's writing to these people, to this church, this group of believers who have been excluded and mistreated for their faith. And in amongst all of this, he anchors their endurance to the suffering of Jesus, which is so countercultural for us. He reminds them that suffering is actually the pattern that has been set out before us on how Jesus has already walked through suffering. There's a word in that passage, which is example. And there's a word in Greek, I'm probably not going to say it right, so please just bear with me, but it's hypogrammos. We're going to go with that, and no one's going to say anything about it. And it means riding underneath or to trace over. And when I was thinking about what that actually looks like, I was reminded of there's kids in prep when you're learning how to write, there's dotted lines on a piece of paper that you get to take home and write, learn how to write your letters, put it in sentences, words, all of that. And then as if learning to write once wasn't hard enough, they make you learn it a second time when you're usually grade 3 and learn how to write in cursive. And that time you get dotted lines again on how to write these letters. And the thing about cursive is if you don't know how to write in it, if you don't know what to do, it can become really messy and really confusing. And so I remember being grade 3 and writing on the letters, and then eventually, like after a certain amount of weeks, you go to your teacher and you give it to them and they're like, okay, you're doing a really good job following the dotted lines, so you can upgrade now to no dotted lines, but you still have to write in cursive. And so then you're writing without these dotted lines, and it can go one of two ways at this point. You're either needing to go back to the dotted lines, or she's like, okay, you've learning how to do this, I can see that you know what to do because you've been practicing tracing over the dotted lines. And eventually you get your cursive license, which is a great day in grade 3. Yes, I know some people remember that day. And that's what that word means. And for us, that means that we are tracing our lives over the dotted lines of the lives of Jesus. Peter says that these are the lines we are called to trace. These are the lines of his suffering. And the thing is, we live in a world, we live in a culture that to suffer is not liked. It's seen as meaningless. It's seen that it takes away from our joy. It's seen that it takes away from who we are and what we love to do. It's seen that it just takes away from everything that we've worked towards. And so in our world, everything is padded for us not to face this. Everything is padded for us to not face discomfort or things that don't bring us joy or don't bring us pleasure. We have all these things in place so we can have the easy way out and numb our discomforts. If you think about it, our phones. We can ghost people and not have to answer their messages. We can not face-to-face resolve conflict, but message someone. We have algorithms on our social media that feed us content we like so that we don't have to look at things we don't want to see. We have TV shows that keep us distracted so we don't have to wrestle with our thoughts or our uncomfortability or our boredom. We have these shortcuts templates, automations, AI, that instead of wanting to put in the effort to learn a new skill, we can Google something and immediately we've got seven different ways of doing it perfectly. I've never made sourdough, but I reckon that if I tried to Google how, I'd have seven ways to do it perfectly the first time, because we don't like when things don't go right for us. We don't like being in this uncomfortable place of, oh, this didn't work for me. We don't like being in this place of, oh, something bad has happened. I don't know what to do from here, and in this wrestle that we sit in. And so everything in our world is built around us to make us feel comfy and cozy all the time. And I'm not saying that these things are bad, they're good, but what happens is that they shape our world. And when they shape our world, they become the environment that we're in. And if we're not careful, the environment that we're in becomes our reality and it becomes the truth that we live by. And so really quickly, we go from one point of being like, this is really comfy and cozy, to thinking that this is the truth of how we're supposed to follow Jesus, because that's all we know. Without realizing, we start to believe this lie that following Jesus should look the same way that our world looks. It should be comfortable, it should be easy, it shouldn't cost us anything, it should be painless, and it should be convenient. And so we reject suffering. But when we do that, we're no longer tracing over the pattern that Jesus has set out for us. We're drawing on our own dotted lines rather than his. Living with Jesus was never supposed to be easy. He didn't promise that the narrow road would be one easy path to walk down. I've done a few different walks in my life. Loved one where I was walking to get engaged, and I was like, this is such an easy path, amazing, best day ever. And then recently when we were in Thailand, we did a walk where it was 500 meters, and I was like, surely we can do this, but 200 meters of elevation at the same time. And it was one of those walks where you're like, oh my gosh, why did we even start this? It sucks so bad. It was hot. We got halfway and I was like, can I turn around? But Jonty encouraged me to keep going. And sometimes that's the walk that we're walking on the narrow road. We still have obstacles, we still have challenges, and there's ways that we can overcome them. And I love that the Bible sometimes just is so clear about stuff and gives us an example of how we overcome them. When I think of our world and how we respond to moments of suffering, I think of anger, I think of judgment, slander, victimhood mentalities, frustration, online hate, like all of these different ways where we just need to get this yucky feeling inside of us out onto other people so it's no longer in us. But then I look at this scripture and I see how Jesus chooses to respond to suffering, and it's patient. It's silently, without retaliation, with no threats, in love, in kindness, and trusting in God. And they sound completely different to each other. We were singing this song before where it says, all my life for your glory, if my days tell a story, everything for the honor of your name. All of my life for his glory, not just the good parts of my life. But in suffering and in hardship, that's still for his glory. All of my days, not just my good days where everything's going really great and I know that God is good, but on my bad days, it still tells a story of who Jesus is and what he has done for me. Everything for the honor of his name, not just the things I want to show him, not just the things that I want to say, yep, this is for the honor of your name, but this part of my life, no. Everything for the honor of his name, including our suffering for the honor of his name. Jesus didn't just die to show us how to suffer. He didn't endure suffering to just show us how to suffer, but he suffered as a substitute for us. In verse 24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. The word bore there is not just symbolic, but it's substitutionary. In the Old Testament, to bear sin was to carry its guilt and to suffer the consequences of it. And Jesus didn't suffer for his own sin because he had none. He suffered as our substitute. I have full permission to tell this story before I tell you the story. But this week, Jonty got a very fun phone call from the police. Yes, it was an intense phone call. And they were saying, Jonty, your car is parked in front of a driveway and you need to move it right now. Now, the thing is that Jonty and his brother had swapped cars, and so his brother had parked the car, which I called him and talked about telling the story, and he just wanted me to let you all know that it was very grassy and it did not look like a driveway, so we can't blame him. So no one blame Oscar. But Jonty had to face the consequences on that phone call for something that he didn't do, something that was someone else's actions, but he had to cop the phone call, he had to have that conversation, and if something didn't change, then he was the one who was going to bear the consequences for it. Now, that's a funny story about that, but when we actually think about what Jesus has done for us, he stood in our place and did something that we could not do so that we could live righteously. His suffering launches us into our righteous living. His suffering didn't just stop with our forgiveness, which was already enough, but it reshapes us and it transforms us so that we can follow on the path that he has for us. We can follow him into his obedience. We can follow him into trust. We can follow him into love. We weren't left there and saying, you're forgiven, figure it out on your own. He's saying, you are reborn, and he has empowered us to live in a way that reflects him. So our imitation of him isn't optional, because it's not just an admiration for him, but it's a transformation that has happened. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in us. And so we are called to trace his love, not out of duty, but out of union with him. The wounds that he bore on the cross, they can reach into our pain. Suffering isn't easy. I'm not saying that there are things, now that we've got Jesus, it's easy to go through, but because of what he has done for us, he can reach into our pain. He can empathize with us. Our scars and our brokenness, he can touch us, restore us, and renew us. And we can step fully into that grace. Because when we experience that grace, that's what transforms our hearts to trace our life over his. His sacrifice shapes how we respond to the hurt of others in our world. Because of him, we can suffer differently. Because of him, we can suffer with joy when the world suffers with despair. Because of him, we can suffer with an expectation when the world suffers with bitterness. Because of him, we can suffer with eternal hope, because we know that our present pain is temporary and our future glory is secure in him. Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed within us. We have all these things that come towards us every single day, where we can take that offense, we can take that hurt, we can take that pain. And I often have this picture of, over my day, I'll collect flowers of things. Sometimes they might be compliments, sometimes they might be kind things that people say, or sometimes they might be the things that actually hurt. And at the end of the day, I collect all these flowers and I give them to Jesus, because that's nothing for me to hold on to, but for me to give onto him, because he is the one who has endured it and he is the one who showed me how to endure through those things. There's a passage in this scripture that has just captured my heart this week, and that's the verse 25, where it says, for you are like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. And it has gripped my heart, because we have an overseer of our souls. We have someone who oversees our souls, not only in joy, but in suffering at the same time. The same hands that took our sin on the cross is the same hands that is overseeing our souls right now. The word shepherd is tender care, protection, and guidance. And the word overseer in Greek, again, bear with me, episkopos, this is what Elijah and I have decided this week we're going to go with, is the one who watches over, guards, and ensures that nothing slips through the cracks. And so for me in my suffering, I know that when I go through it, I know that there is someone overseeing every part of that moment, overseeing the hurt that I'm feeling, overseeing the whole situation, not just one bit. And there's someone who guides us. Last year, I went to New Zealand, and we got to see these sheep going all astray, and then the cattle dog that comes and rounds them up. And it was really cool, because they would all go up in a pack, but there's always one or two sheep that get distracted by a noise, or where the grass is greener, or just something. And they go off, and all the sheep come back, and there's one that's left just wandering around. And so the cattle dog has to go round it up and bring it back to the person that's overseeing them. And I just thought, how suffering makes us stray like sheep. Because we see things where we're like, oh, right now I'm in a place of feeling hurt and feeling down and feeling my suffering, so I'm going to go over to that green pasture because it's easier over there. And then we go, oh, actually, maybe that noise, you know, maybe that's just a distraction in my life that I can wander over here. And we see all these things that once we've already left, we've stepped out, we are like, oh, all these things might be better. And we actually need someone who comes and grabs us and brings us back. And that's Jesus on the cross has gone, found that one sheep, left the 99 that have already returned, but has come to grab you in those moments of suffering and bring you back. Suffering has this way of scattering us, but in this scripture it says, not anymore because of what Jesus has done. You have been gathered back to the overseer of your soul. Your life has direction, it has purpose, protection, and care because of what Jesus has done for you. There was a moment earlier this year where I found myself really discouraged and isolated and feeling hurt, and I don't think I would have said it back then or even labeled it like this, but it was a moment of suffering in my life. And I wanted to do everything that I could to make it right again and to have a conversation and defend myself. And I was telling someone in my life about this moment. And it was almost like, now that I'm looking back, reading the scripture, it was almost like she quoted this scripture to me, but said it in a way that I would understand it at that moment. And when I was telling her, I was like, I just want to say this, and I want to defend myself, and I can do it, and I'm the one who's got it, and I just need this chance, and sorry, I just need all of these moments. She was like, Sophia, she was very gracious and kind, and she was like, do you not believe that the Lord would oversee not only you in this moment, but this whole situation? And in my heart, I was like, I thought so. In my head, I was like, yes, of course, I've prayed about it, I've given it to God, but there's actually more in my heart that I said, no, my pride saying I can defend myself in this. I'm going, if only I had the opportunity to do it, or I can take care of it. Maybe I've prayed about it once or twice and God hasn't done anything, so I can fix it now. I just won't keep giving it back to him. And I had all these moments, and immediately she goes, well, think of Jesus walking up to the cross. Everyone's hurling these insults at him. He knew what was going to be said about him. He knew what people said about him then and now, and he did not retaliate. He had confidence in the one who judges justly. He had confidence in the overseer of his soul to say, God is with me through this. He is walking through this with me. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And she said, what changes between you and Jesus in that moment? And there's nothing, because the Lord is still overseeing our souls, still protecting us, still walking through every hardship with us. And not only does he care about every situation that we go through, but he cares about us so deeply in them that he knows what we need to hear. And there was something in that moment that just switched my perspective on hard things in life, that there was no longer this moment of going, I got this, I got this, I got this, but saying, God, you got this, you got this. I can give it to you because I can trust you wholeheartedly in this. I give this to you because I trust that you will restore it, even if I don't see it now. I trust you because you will walk with me in this and guide me through it. Even if I don't see that perfect ending that I had pictured in mind, you've got a better way of doing this. And actually setting aside my expectation and desire for everything, but going, you know what? I have an overseer of my soul, someone who trusts, I can trust wholeheartedly, someone who's going to guide me through this perfectly. And I just would encourage you tonight that in those moments where we feel like we want to do it all ourselves, where we can endure our suffering by ourselves, that we have someone who's overseeing our souls, who cares for us so deeply, and who transformed us from the inside out so that we could live differently. I'll invite the band to come up and join me. If we reject the call to suffer with him, then we miss all the benefits of walking underneath his shepherding hand. In that moment where I wanted to do it all by myself, I was pushing him aside and not getting to live in the benefits that his shepherding hand has. You know, Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. When we entrust ourselves to Jesus, even in the midst of our struggling, we find that he is our hope in our lowest moments. We find that he is our light in our darkest moments, that he is our strength in our weakest moments, and he is our comforter on our worst days. And that doesn't mean that those things don't end up still happening. We still have low moments, dark moments, weak moments, bad days. But it means that in the midst of it, because of what he's done for us, because of the call that he has given us, we can look to him and confidently know that we are being led, that we are being shepherded, and we are being overseen. He has been our example to show us the path of how we endure suffering. He has been our substitution, and he took the penalty so that we could walk it out. And he has been our shepherd and overseer to guide us and hold us when we stumble walking along the path. And so tonight, I just felt that there were some gentle nudges that God wanted to make in people's hearts. And perhaps it's perspective of suffering. Maybe it's a perspective shift that needs to happen from earthly perspective of suffering to kingdom perspective of suffering. Maybe it's just a gentle nudge into reminding you who the overseer of your soul is and who is guiding you through your struggles. And maybe it's just a gentle nudge of a reminder of what he has done for us, and that because of it, we can live differently and we should be living differently because of it. And so we're going to go back into this song, and I would just invite you to have a moment with God. We're not going to come up the front because I just feel like there's some heart business that God wants to do, and it's just between you and him. And so we're going to sing this song. If you would stand and just have this moment to respond to the Lord. Maybe it's one of those three things. Maybe there's something in your life right now that's really hard and difficult, but knowing that the Lord is with you, he is your shepherd. Maybe there's moments where you suffer and it just feels overwhelming, but to know that there is eternal glory and hope that we can go into. So we're just gonna, give him everything and all of those things that we're singing. Sometimes we have to sing it and say it for our soul to believe it. And all of those words that say, all my life, all my everything that I'm going to do, every bit of it, you can have all of it, not just the things that I decide, but in every good thing and every hard thing, you can have all of it.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.